and 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and the last book, Malachi. You guys are getting the offbeat thing at Samuel and Malachi better. But let's go through it one more time this morning. Here we go. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and the last book, Malachi. Woo! We're going to do a special. Forget the adult choir this morning. It's just going to be this class singing. Thank you, Mr. Huber. It sounded actually pretty good. You guys are getting it? Now we're going to go back to the New Testament and throw you all off again. But now next week we'll probably do the Old Testament, and then we'll go back to the New Testament 1 week as a review, and then the last week we'll do them both. All right? So we only have 3 weeks after today left of this class. And the plans are in the works for the next Sunday school session. So we're excited about what's coming up. But let's finish up what we have together. Anyone want to share a... I know we had the week off because of Christmas last week. We had a great time. It was nice. It was different, but it was nice being here Christmas morning. As a tradition, we normally went Christmas Eve. So to be in Christmas morning, which is some people's tradition to come Christmas morning instead, I saw a survey that was done. Something like 85 or 82% of churches this year had Christmas service, Christmas morning, and it's down from like 86 last time Christmas fell on a Sunday. And it's only something around 60% that have church service on Christmas Eve and Christmas morning when it lines up like this. So just interesting to see who goes when, but the numbers have slowly been dropping. Now people are more likely to cancel church and just spend time with family. But on Lord's Day, celebrating the birth of the Savior, I think it's good to have church Sunday morning. So that was a blessing last week. But does anyone have something they'd like to give a word of testimony about? Could be a blessing, could be an encouragement, could be something you've got from God's Word, a prayer request. Yes? All right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can't deny a guy who's biscuits and gravy. Yeah. Anyone else? Some people have asked if you keep praying for Olga. She's doing a lot better. We got to see her Monday. She came over for Christmas. We had our Christmas with that side of the family on Monday. It's nice to have her there. Many hours talking, eating, fellowshipping with us. She does still have head pain, but she's miraculous distance from where she was to where she is today. And we praise the Lord for that. Keep praying for her and for Mark, just with his continued. It's going to be the rest of his life, just battles with his lungs and his breathing and emphysema and stuff like that. So keep him in prayer. But so far they were both doing well that day, and it was a blessing to have him over and get to see him. And man, that change is just, praise the God for that. Anyone else want to share a word of testimony, give a blessing? or a prayer need? You'd like something prayed for? Talking a bunch today. Yes, Brother Frank. Amen. Amen. I had a small interaction with my wife's dad, Frank. Rogers, we prayed for him to be saved, and he came to the concert that they had at for Loba, the choirs, and we just got to talk for a little bit. He says, you know, I've got a Bible. And we talked, well, it doesn't do any good to own it. You got to get out and read it. And he's like, yeah, I know, and I should. But just to talk about a spiritual thing for a moment was just a blessing to encourage him to do that. He has come into things, and He, one of my kids just gave testimony the other day. We were having a time of blessings in there, like that he is bringing up spiritual subjects more often than in the past. It was like, unless you just wanted an argument about it then, but praise the Lord for that. Anything else?
I had a
yes, sir.
Medical, which took me to a medical place, medical
transport.
Yeah, like a, yeah.
And I was surprised to ask the driver. If she knew the Lord, she says, oh yes, I've known him since I was about 10 years old. And
amen.
She said, you wouldn't believe all the things he's done in my life for me. I was pleased to hear that she was through the Lord.
Amen. That is a blessing.
The third one you witnessed to.
It's the third one, yeah, the day.
Within an hour. How about the other two?
The same day?
Yes.
Yeah. Nice.
I'm trying to get a different driver in the morning than we did to take him home from PT.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one?
Well, the first one went to church down the road on 19 here, Jubilee.
Okay.
Jubilee, I asked to talk to him. He goes to Jubilee Church.
And where was the third one, I guess, then?
Well, I gave a track to my physical therapist.
All right. Amen.
She back before.
Where do you go to physical therapy?
Well, she discharged me now. So.
Okay. Well, where was it?
Rochester Regional.
Oh, Rochester Regional.
A long time in Ridgeway.
Oh, a little bit of a haul then.
Yeah, normally I drive him, but I don't have.
Do you have your car back?
I do not.
No? Did you sort out the license?
I have a driver's license.
Where was it?
I ordered it.
Oh, so you never found the old one? No, it was the police officer sold it to a 16-year-old. No,
I'm just the latest and greatest when I went Friday to the Clinton shop was, we found some moisture in your oil. So we're sending it to mechanics. It's graduated from the collision to the mechanics. I parked next to it and looked at it and I said goodbye. Because that's gasket. Head gasket. I don't know how that would affect. How getting a beer could ruin your head gasket.
It might not have, but if they're willing to lump it together in that, take it.
All about that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so
I think the tires wore out a little bit too in that accident.
So it's on its way to a mechanic. They have their own mechanic to look at it. So just pray. I don't. You know what? I have on day one that start with both. Just dump that thing on the Lord and. We have no idea where this is going.
Mm-hmm.
And I do know I have a rental car until January 8th. So we're all good.
Nice.
All good, right?
Praise the Lord.
All right.
Yeah. Just get him an electric scooter. Put a wagon on the back for you. Anyway. Good to have you here.
That's too much of a laugh.
Oh. All right, I just had to take my snowblower to get looked at. Rick's neighbor tinkers on stuff for us, and I went to pick it up because it wouldn't start. It was blowing out like white smoke after 30 seconds. And then after that, you'd start it. 5 seconds, white smoke would come out, and then it would shut down. So changed the gas, make sure it was good gas. And I pick it up. He's like, there was no oil in it. There was gas in the oil, like thing. It was filled with oil, gas. And I'm like, I don't think I would have done that. You know, screw this. I mean, there's a dipstick on the cap of the oil. I mean, there's nothing in my brain that would say, let's put gas in there. And I never have them open at the same time. So we're trying, it's a mystery. Like he said, I didn't see any leaks. I refilled them both, cleaned everything out. It's good to go. So we'll see if I go to start it again and the oil's all gone. And our thought was maybe the oil just burned up last year and I parked it. This was the first time trying to start it. And then I kept it in a little shed type canvas shed I have at the bottom of the hill with my lawnmower. And one of my kids thought they were being helpful and took the gas can I keep in there and dumped it in the oil thing. That's a guess. I don't know exactly how that happened, but praise the Lord, I have it now that the snow's gone. And well, I'm sure we're going to get more snow, so I'm thankful for that. Let's get into our booklet today, Practical Christian Living. We're starting the next one here. We have this one and then one more about the judgment seat of Christ. That's going to be the last one we do. This one is, like it says on the cover, it's very practical. It's just day-to-day Christian life. Remember the title for this class, what we're trying to accomplish is your just a Bible-based introduction to what is the Bible. I won't make us review all that. Maybe the last week we'll run through the story of the Bible again one more time. We talked about just the foundation of God's Word, who wrote it, what is inspiration, you know, the different authors of the Bible, the different time periods, the books of the Bible kind of cover across that general big Bible overview. We did the first couple weeks and then started doing individual doctrinal studies. And remember, doctrine is simply what God says about a matter. It's the truth about that theme, and this doctrine would just be your, I don't know if I like the word doctrine for this, but it's how you live day-to-day life. What does the Bible say about a Christian and how they should be living? Remember, these booklets are, they're great. They have a lot of verses in them to keep them, to review them, but it is the introduction layer to a lot of these doctrines. You could go do a lot more study. And once again, if you're interested, we're starting Bible Institute here. Again, we're going to have two classes on Tuesday nights. If you'd like to go a little bit deeper into the Word of God, those classes will be a lot more thorough and flush out and do a lot more verse-by-verse studies and comparing Scripture and Scripture. So if you're interested, let Pastor or myself know. We're going to be doing Dispensational Truth and the Early Church, the first couple books, chapters of the book of Acts. But starting here today with our practical Christian living, it says in the first paragraph there, it is common for new believers to have questions about how to live as a Christian. And I'm sure today you and I still face some questions about should I participate in that? Because the culture around us changes. So the challenges you might have faced if you've been saved a long time in your early Christian life might not be the same challenges that are the questions that the gray areas where you have to make a choice. Is this right or is this wrong? Is this something as a Christian I should do or is this something as a Christian I should abstain from? And those questions aren't just settled once in your life and then it's done. Because, like I said, the world around us is constantly changing, so you're faced with new things you wouldn't have thought of before. And, man, you talk to people today about even the topics that are being discussed in modern colleges and what's out there in the world today. Gender is a huge thing right now. Who would have thought in their life this would be a thing? That famous little documentary came out, What is a Woman? And all these people can't even answer the question. The Supreme Court Justice was going, could you tell us what a woman is? Well, no, I'm not a... Okay, just you wouldn't think I have to have an opinion on this. It shouldn't change, right? But what comes up, what culture puts into your view of what you have to deal with and what you have to teach kids. Or remember, we're stewards of this information. It's not just for us. It's also what we're going to pass on to other people. So these set up some guidelines as to how you deal with any situation you might face in your day-to-day life. Starting first off with sin. And that's where the booklet kind of jumps into. But we'll get there in a second as we read through here. Before salvation, our lives most likely consisted of activities that would not honor God. There are many absolutes in God's words that inform us of what we should do and what we should not do. It would be kind of nice if God gave, it'd be a lot bigger than the Ten Commandments, be a couple thousand
It kind of probably looked like the tax code for the state, just book upon book upon book of everything that might possibly happen. But what God does is set down guidelines for us so that whatever situation faces, you can make a decision based on the principles in God's word. There are other situations we encounter with no specific guiding commands. So how does God want us to make decisions when we are uncertain? In this lesson, we deal with that. After salvation, should there be a change in the way I live? Yes, absolutely. 100% there should be a change in the way you live because we are now a new creature. Number one there, our lives should show evidence that the Holy Spirit now lives within us. This is one of the reasons I wanted to do the Holy Spirit first, because this is one of the effects of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The Holy Spirit should be convicting us, guiding us, helping us grow in the Lord. And if those changes are happening, that should show in action. That should show in your words and in your deeds and what you do and what you don't do. Because now the Holy Spirit has guidance in your life and not just your own desires and your own self, the old man. This means that our hearts will desire to please God in our decisions and in our actions. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Galatians 4:6 is written there in the book. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. We should never forget, we just talked about it in the last book, about the Holy Spirit and His job in our life. There is, if you're saved, it is there. The Holy Spirit is within you. And the Holy Spirit is God dwelling in you. That should make a difference in your life. Now, there's two ways to look at it. There's trying to force, and they both play a part in it. Trying to force, like dragging the Holy Spirit behind you, but that's how you might feel sometimes. It's like, I have to do right just because I know it's right. And there's nothing in me telling me I don't feel like I should do it. Like, everything that's in me doesn't want to do this thing, but I'm doing it because I know I should. I know it's the right thing to do. And it's kind of that feeling you might think of, I'm dragging the Holy Spirit because I don't feel convicted to do this thing. I don't have a love to do this thing, but I know I'm supposed to do it. A very practical thing could just simply be reading your Bible each day. There might be days where you just love it. I want to get into it. I need it. And then there's days like, ugh. And it feels more like I am. You know what? That's that battle between the flesh and the spirit. And that should tell you who has more sway in that moment in your life. If you ever feel like I am dragging God along and I know I'm supposed to do these things and it feels more of a burden, that is not the job of the Holy Spirit in your life. The job of the Holy Spirit is to be the one that leads you. You follow it. And if it feels that way in your life, that means the Holy Spirit is not in control of your heart and in your mind. Because you have taken control, and now you're obeying the commandments of God out of guilt or a burden, versus, no, this is where God is leading me. This is where I'm supposed to do. This is what I find joy in. This is what I need in my life, and I follow the Holy Spirit. A Christian should be following the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There's big changes that happen, hopefully, in the moment of your salvation, especially if you got saved later in life, when you had a whole life, like a young adult or an adult. And man, just a radical shift from how I used to live, what the flesh wanted, what the world says I needed to do, what culture said I needed to do, and now a dramatic change from that to what the Bible tells me I'm supposed to be doing, what the Holy Spirit of God is leading me to do. In the life of a child, you might not see such a big shift from one to the other. But that progression doesn't just stop in the moment of salvation. There might be that first big jump, but now there's day-to-day life following, walking in the Holy Spirit of God, which should continue to produce change. If we continue to give ourselves over to the Holy Ghost, if we continue to follow God's word, there should be continual growth. Be careful if that gets stagnant. I'm not here to preach at you this morning. But this is what the Bible says. Just as a child longs to please his earthly father, a Christian should spiritually long to please his Father. So this is the other half of that. We have the Holy Spirit guiding us. That's why we should our life should change, because it's not ours anymore. We have God within us, and the body is his temple, and we're going to follow what he wants us to do. We have the Word of God to guide us through the Holy Spirit, and there's that radical shift in our life. We got something new that we're following. You got ever seen those construction trucks that say, construction vehicle, do not follow? That's what I think of. That's the old man in your life now. It's still there. It's going to throw big flags in your life and try to get you to follow. And you're supposed to say, no, I'm not going that way. I'm going to follow the Holy Spirit. And when you start to follow that way, it's like, oh, there's where I'm. And then that comes with all the guilt and the frustration and the burdens. Christianity isn't supposed to be that. It's supposed to be a blessing and a joy and a fulfillment of your life to follow God, all right? And then the other part of it is, now there should be a change because I want to please my Heavenly Father. I want to please God. And that's what point number two says. Our lives should focus on a willingness to please God rather than obey the flesh. Let's turn to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter 8. Brother Hodges, would you turn to Ephesians 4 while we go to Romans 8? Romans 8, 8. A very long, complicated, difficult verse. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. A Christian, you and I, if you're saved here today, you should have a desire to please God. I follow the Holy Spirit and His guidance, and that should lead me the right way. But then there's also a determination within yourself to, no, I want to do what's right because I want to make God happy. I want to please Him. When we focus on ourselves, we forget about others. Whenever I find myself a little grumpy in my head walking around the house, frustrated with some situation, and I get convicted about it, you know what the conviction mostly is? Is I'm just thinking about myself. How I wanted that, or that frustrated me, or that thing that I said I'd like done wasn't done, or nobody remembers to do this, and why doesn't anyone listen to what I say? And it's all about, what are you laughing at, Dad? Now, no one's, you know, it's all about what I'm feeling in that moment. I never walk around the house I shouldn't say never. There's occasions where you walk around frustrated for someone else, you know, but mostly it's when we focus on self. And a Christian who focuses on self will quickly turn back to fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. Because that is what you want. That is what the core of who you were born wants, is the flesh. So when we focus on others, the Christian life is all about just service. It's about serving others, and it's about serving God principally. I heard Dr. Gibbs, not really a pastor, but preaching. He said, you know how you know if you are a good servant is how you react when people treat you like a servant. You know whether or not you're a good servant and how you act when people treat you like a servant. How does a servant get treated? Could be. They're expected to do work. They're expected to do good work. They're not paid or necessarily thanked. But that's the Christian life. It's a life of service, firstly towards God. And when we allow ourselves, and this is where you make the conscious decision, I'm going to focus on myself for a minute, then all that service becomes a burden. It becomes something you're spiteful towards. It becomes, where's my reward? Where's my thanks? Where's the payoff? And in frustration, you turn back towards the flesh. But our lives should be focused on a service and a willingness to please God. Romans 8:8, once again. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Let's read 7 and 9 as well. These are good verses. This whole chapter would be great to read. If you want to go back and do a little bit more reading in it, this chapter is filled with this discussion back and forth about this topic, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. The carnal mind, speaking of your mind, the old man, the way we think. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. This is for us as Christians. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit of life because of righteousness. And it goes on. Like I said, this is good. Verses 13, another good one. If you're living in the flesh, you won't please God. You're going back to where you were before salvation. Now, you're not losing your salvation. You're not none of that stuff. But just your day-to-day practical living, when you live in the flesh, God will not be pleased. You will not be pleased. And it is impossible to live a Christian life when you do not walk in the Spirit. Brother Hodges, would you read Ephesians 4:22? And then, Brother Frank, right after that, if you had a question or a comment. Put off what? The old man. The old man is the man before salvation, when we were born again through Christ. When the Bible says in John 3, marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Now we have the new man, which should walk in the Spirit. Did you have something, Brother Frank?
Well, yeah. When Jesus said, I no longer call you servants, but friends. It's a different situation than being a servant and trying to serve God. You're trying to do something when he wants you to do something through him. The word is in you, and the living word lives out of you. And that's what we got to realize, that it's no longer a servitude.
It's not a bondage. It's not a burden.
It's a glory.
Yes.
It's great to know that the Lord is using you.
And that's where the scripture says we find our joy is in the service of the Lord. Yes. And when we look for that, when you live in the flesh and you find your joy in the flesh and you serve God out of obligation, the joy is in what's destroying you and makes the service feel even more like a burden.
Realize there's no good thing in the flesh.
Yeah. Whew, we got a fun battle. I mean, praise the Lord, though. The sin is forgiven, and we're going to get into that here in a minute. Amen. And I'm so thankful for that. We don't, there's a line, a thought in our mind to make sure that you don't get discouraged by these things. And I think every time that I have sinned or I didn't do, like, live up to the standard of holiness, that now God is just going to crush me and I have failed and I'm worthless and I'll never, God is not glorified by that. He knows who you are. He knows that you're but dust. Sin is forgiven. And I want to encourage you, at the same time as we should constantly strive to be better for God and live more according to His Word and reflect Jesus Christ in our life, at the same time, praise God that He loves us as sons and daughters and that sin is forgiven and we don't carry that burden on us anymore. Amen. And it's a, like Brother Frank was just saying, it is a joy to serve God. That can be twisted into, I have to do more. I always have to do more. I have to do more. I have to serve more. I have to give more. I have to pray more. I have to read more. And no, that's not true. It could be true for you. It might not be. You do what God calls you to do. But God is a loving God, and we are now His sons and daughters. And praise the Lord for that blessing that we have. Amen. And when we talk about living holy, don't get to the point where you either think it's impossible, so I won't try, or I have tried so much and failed that I'm worthless, I'm never going to succeed, God wouldn't even want to use me. As much as both of those things are true, they're both lies at the same time. Let's go on, though. Point number two here. Since my sins are forgiven, why can't I do what I want to do? Let's go to Romans chapter number 6. One of the verses is written there, but we're going to read some more in the chapter. Romans chapter number 6. If upon salvation God forgave my sin, why then should I worry about it? Like, why should I care? It's forgiven. It's taken care of. It's under the blood. Why should I? Is it okay? Can I sin now because it's already forgiven? There's the answer. Brother Lauk knows it. God forbid. And every time I read these verses, just in church a couple weeks ago, we're sitting, my wife and I, and I had the Spanish English Bible with me, and pastor was reading, and it says, in ninguna manera, that's how it's translated, God forbid. And it's like, in no way, in ninguna manera. And I was going through doing a Bible Institute class of Romans, and every time we came across the phrase, I had one of the young men shout it out, in ninguna manera, because it's God forbid. No, you don't do that. It's strong language. We're going to see that here. Let's read it together. Romans 6, verse number 1, the answer to this question, the point number 1 is forgiveness through salvation is not licensed to sin. God wants to see in us growth. He wants to see His Spirit in us. He wants to see us living according to Him, not living in sin. So there's the opposite end of what we were just talking about, where people say, my sins are forgiven, I'm a child of God, He loves me as the way I am, so I'm just going to be who I am and do what I got, and it's all forgiven, it's okay. I have liberty in everything. So I'll just live however I want to live, then I'm saved. No, that's not what the Bible teaches either. Be careful when people try to draw you into, it's got to be all of this or all of that. If you're having a discussion with someone, there's either Christian liberty, so we're free to do whatever we want, or it's all legalistic and I have to follow every single rule, and if I don't, then no. There's God, life, everything is, there are some things that are very clearly black and white, that are righteousness and sin, that are holy, that are unholy. But there's not that extreme of all Christian liberty or all law. No, there's a Christian standard, there's separation. There's the Holy Ghost showing through you in your life. That leans to this side. There's also the love of God and the forgiveness of sin. And the liberty from the Old Testament law, that leans to this side. And a Christian life, what we're talking about here, is finding that balance in your life as God has spoken to you. You and I probably do not have the same convictions and standards. Entertainment is an area where that changes a lot. Music, TV, the what you watch, what you see, what you listen to, how much time you might watch in sports games or whatever your hobby is. Somebody might look at that and say, well, why aren't you praying more? Why aren't you witnessing more? Why don't you use that time to serve someone else? And then the other area, I mean, see what I'm saying? Got to be careful with law and with grace and with Christian liberty and with a desire to be separate and please the Lord. How much easier would it be to live holy if I was just all by myself? Just ship me some food and I'll just be there all by my lonesome. No temptation, no connection to the world. I would just be fat and lazy, so I'd be sinning anyway. Right? You know, you're not going to escape. What you do, let's keep going here. I'm just going to blather on, and we're not actually reading the Bible, which is important here. So let's get to the verses. Romans chapter number 6, 1 and 2. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? The more that we sin, the more God's grace is shown, because He's forgiving more and more and more and more of what we're doing. So should we just, it's all under grace. Can we just go do what we want? And Paul gives a very clear answer. The next two words, as Brother Lauk already said, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Let's jump over to verse, another great chapter here. If Pastor did that study in Romans, what was it, about 6 months ago? We went through the books, or was it longer than that? Time goes so quick. But he went through the book of Romans. Remember that? Yes, I didn't imagine it, right? It did happen. It might be one of the things that we talked about and he never did. No, he did do that one. And we went through this. Romans chapter 6, talking about the penalty of sin, the wages of sin. Verse number 12 and 13. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, and those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin? Once again, he asked the question. Because we are not under the law, but under grace. And once again, the response, God forbid. There is a standard that God wants to see in us. Verse number 12 uses an important word when it says, let not sin, I always want to flip those two, let not sin therefore reign. Reign. Yes, a Christian will sin. But does sin reign in your life? Are you living under sin in a continual, habitual habit of sin? Or is there a war going on within you? When you sin, you repent of it. When you sin, there's conviction and a desire to do what is right. Or does sin just have control? Oh yeah, I sin. What's the big deal? Ooh, you're not in the fight anymore. And the next verse uses the word twice, the word yield. Yield. That puts the responsibility on your shoulders. You choose. Am I going to yield my members to righteousness or to unrighteousness? God is not forcing you to live holy, nor will he force you to sin. He gives you the choice there where he says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves under God. Because we have our sins forgiven, we are no longer under the bondage of sin. We are not slaves to sin. These are words that Paul uses as well, talking about sin as a bondage and a slavitude and as blindness. No, we have the light, we have freedom. Now it's 100% choice. Live holy, live right, follow God. Our choices, number two, whether to sin or to obey God, have personal consequences. You will not lose your salvation in sin. That's another booklet. We didn't study it here. I'm going through it in Spanish Church of Eternal Security and the promise that God gives us of that seal and that. There's a whole bunch going there. Okay? If I start down that path, we will not finish today. It's good stuff. If you have any questions about that, I love the study that is in these booklets, and we can give you that. It's one of the longer ones, and it just goes through it again and again and again and again, all different angles. But Scripture is clear that our salvation is eternal and is forever. But sin affects you. There is consequences to sin. I remind the teenagers and my kids that the list of sin that we have in Scripture isn't some arbitrary list that God just thought up. Hey, you know what would be fun if I told them they couldn't do this? No, the majority of sins that God instructs and says that's a sin, don't do that, is something that will destroy your life. It makes your life worse. There's a very practical nature to living holy, and there's a practical consequence to living in sin. Not talking about the eternal consequence, not talking about the massive and egregious offense it is to God, which are two incredibly serious, important areas of it. But practical Christian living, if you sin, there are consequences to be suffered for sin. It destroys, it hurts, it tears down. It's not going to make you a better Christian or a better person. It's not going to improve your life. Brother Frank? Yep, that was the last booklet. I think I looked up those verses again because I was doing a little study on my own. I don't know if I was going to throw it in or not, but we read those verses about chastening and what God, that's God's end. I'm just talking about the sin end of it. When we sin, it will destroy. When you give in to selfishness, what kind of person does that make you? When you give in to anger, that destroys. It'll destroy your marriage. It'll destroy your relationships with your friends. It'll destroy your relationship with your kids or with your parents. Pride. What has that ever made better? Greed. There's practical effects. You say, my soul is saved. I'm under the blood. I'm under grace. Yes, yes, and yes. Amen. But that doesn't mean sin isn't going to ruin your life if you still live in it. Amen? Yield your members to righteousness. Our behavior, we didn't read this, Galatians 6, 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The law of sowing and reaping. Our behavior is continually planting seeds and will always produce what we have planted. I have prayed before, God save me from the consequences of my sin. I have just made some terrible choices. God, if you would show mercy and grace towards me and just, can we just wipe that one? Like, I don't want to see the fruit come back from that. Can we just, and I think sometimes he does that for me. Praise the Lord. Or my life would be a mess. Even more now. What? What's heavy on my mind right now is in my basement. I just discovered last night that the sewage is just bubbling up and spilling out into the basement floor. So I'm thinking of that when I'm thinking of sin in my life. It just and I have a nasty pile of little white papers and all kinds of niceness in my basement right now. It's fun stuff. I'm glad I saw it because it must have been happened for a couple days. Anyway, I was down there working last night and I hear, it doesn't smell that bad though. Unless, COVID. I'm down there working and I hear bloop, bloop, bloop. I'm like, what in the world? And there's a pipe just, oh, that's fun. Yay. My son mentioned the day before, the toilet's bubbling when it flushes. I'm like, eh. And something happened. Anyway, so that's what I'm thinking about when sin just affecting my life is just this, a fountain of nastiness. Just, what is that? It doesn't make anything better. It doesn't make anything cleaner. It doesn't make anything more holy. And God is calling us. He's like, there is that, and here is walking in the Spirit. Here's the path I have set for you. Here's what holiness does. Here's what the fruit of the Spirit in your life looks like. And when we sin, we choose to go back that way. I wanted to finish up to this next point. We have just enough time. Number three, and then we'll finish it's not a very long booklet, but the next section has a lot of verses, and I want to read all of them next week, so I want to make sure we have time for that. But let's finish number three on the next page, page number four. Our choices also have consequences that affect other people. Famous story in the Bible of Achan. He stole the bacon. So remember him. After the battle of Jericho, when they were told to leave everything, don't touch it. That battle, that victory belonged to God. And of course, he disobeyed. He saw the riches. He took some for himself. He hid it. And they went to the next battle. What happened at the Battle of Ai, for those who remember the story? That was the next battle they fought. They lost, and 36 people died. Did those 36 steal? Did those 36 disobey? I mean, in the big picture, yes, they were sinners and all that stuff, but they didn't. They were not, the victims of that loss were because of another person's sin. I had this discussion with my Spanish teacher in Mexico, and that was one of his hang-ups about Scripture was the fact that he wanted, it's all on me. What I do is me. I'm trying to explain to him, that's not how it works. I mean, right now, if you made a terrible choice, would it affect your family? If you went out and stole and had to go to jail, wouldn't that have consequences on your family? Yeah. And our sin does the same because sin just corrupts and destroys. So when you think about, well, I'm willing to bear the consequences, I can handle it, I'll get right with God later. Well, you're forgetting that there's a circle around you that will seep into. Romans 14:7 says, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. And Joshua 22, let's go there. Did you have something, Brother Frank?
Well, I think the water would be a good example of affecting other people.
Mm-hmm.
And we have that today in society so strong that it's a terrible thing.
Yep. Well, I had that discussion with Pastor not too long ago in the office, and that's, I mean, just, you say, well, it'll make things, but no, it's not going to make anything better. It's going to make things worse. It almost always does. Sin always makes things worse. And that last phrase it says at the bottom, our sinful behavior is like a contagious disease. Joshua 22, verse number 20, did not Achan, the son of Zerah, committed trespass and the accursed thing, and wrath fell upon all the congregation of Israel. And that man perished, not alone in his iniquity. That means he perished with others because of his iniquity. Whenever we give sin reign in our lives, whenever a Christian yields his members to unrighteousness, when we walk away from the Holy Spirit's leading in our life, when you lose the desire to please God and you instead focus on self, it has an effect. Yes, I'm going to heaven. Yes, I'm under grace. Yes, my sins are forgiven. Yes, God looks at me and sees his son. But there's the consequences of sin, not there's the chastening of God, which is even separate from what we're talking about, than just the destructive nature of sin. Brother Eric was just preaching to the teenagers on Wednesday, and we read the verse about lust. No, temptation brings forth lust. Lust brings forth sin. And when sin is finished, it brings forth death. For the wages of sin is death. Sin destroys, it corrupts, and it makes everything around it. It affects it all. Why should I live holy? Can I just do what I want? I'm forgiven. Well, yeah, you'll go to heaven, but you can destroy your life, you can destroy your testimony, and you can destroy the lives of those around you based on your choices to live holy or to live in sin. So, let's live holy. Follow the Holy Ghost. Follow his teachings. When you know you've sinned, confess it, forsake it, and keep on living holy. Press on to the next thing. And as soon as you sin again, Lord, forgive me. Never let sin become a habit. Never let yourself justify it. Oh, we're really good at self-justification. It's okay because you don't understand because of da 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 da. Let's do what is right and live holy before God. Amen. It sounds more like a sermon to me this morning, but it is the Word of God. And when you talk about our responsibility before God, you talk about sin, it can't help but bring a little bit of conviction, and it should. And our heart should have a strong desire. I just want to please God. And as we read, I think it's Romans, what is it? I forget the, is it 7, 9? Where Paul goes back and forth with that struggle with sin. One day it'll be all delivered, praise the Lord. And we'll know what it is like to be holy in the presence of holiness. And that's going to feel like, I can't even describe it. But that's going to be amazing, I guarantee that. Amen. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed today. Lord, thank you so much for your word. I thank you for the forgiveness and the grace that you show us. Lord, I thank you for the ability that we have now to please you. Lord, what a wonderful thing that is. Before, the best I could do was still sin in your eyes. But now through the blood of your son, Lord, I have the ability to put a smile on your face. Lord, I have the ability to please you with my life, and I pray that I would faithfully follow that. Lord, as we hear your word preached this morning, I pray that it would do nothing but draw us closer to you. Lord, with a heart knit with yours. Lord, if we have sin, I pray that you teach us to hate it, to forsake it, and Lord, to save us from it. Father, as you taught your disciples to pray, I pray that you would lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We love you, Lord. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your attention today. Remember in the back, memory verses. If you want to start working on some, on the back there, there's four. If you want to pick one this week and start working on it. All right. Thank you.